And good morning. This is Wednesday, July 18th, 2018. Already the 18th of July. Can you believe it? And this is the morning show you've tuned into right here at 88.5 KRFY. This is, again, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. And I'm Susie Prez, one of the Wednesday morning show hosts. And across from me is smiling co-host.
I'm Chris Bessler. And I guess I'm smiling.
Good morning.
Why
Chris.
Not? It's a beautiful day out
it's
there.
It's a beautiful day. The wind is, I would think if I was a sailor, I'd want to be out on the lake today because there's this gentle wind, but it's going to be really beautiful and warm. So it would be a great day for sailing, it seems like.
Yeah.
So we are here. We have a guest that's coming in. He's on his way. We have Jim Zuberbühler. He's one of the organizers, probably the main organizers of the Long Bridge Swim, and it's the 24th annual Long Bridge Swim coming up, and we want to hear all about it because it's coming up August 4th, so that's 3 weeks away.
Yeah, and Jim will be in momentarily, but first, Susie.
What would you like to know?
Well, what's going on around this town? How about start with the weather?
Okay. Already 70 degrees out right now from the National Weather Service, and we can expect a high today of 87 and sunny. There's not a cloud in the picture here. With south winds 6 to 13 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low around 53, winds 5 to 9 miles per hour. Becoming calm after midnight. Thursday, sunny with a high of near 85. Thursday night, clear with a low around 51. It looks like pretty much the same thing, a little bit cooler than it was a few days ago. Highs in the low 80s. That's what we're looking at. Those cool nights make all the difference, don't they?
Yeah, it's been basically perfect summer weather. Some other things going on outside. I don't know if you've been looking up in the sky, but it's been just gorgeous with the star display lately. Actually, more than the stars. Jupiter's been very bright. And there was a conjunction with Venus and the moon at a crescent moon 2 nights ago, which is really cool. Conjunction means that the two bodies are very close to each other.
So they almost line up, but not quite. You can kind of still see them.
And the moon, it was a crescent, so it was basically setting a little bit after sunset with Venus right there. And it looked really huge because the moon gets close to the horizon, it gets magnified. It was really quite a display. And then the other thing that's happening outside at night, if you look up, late around 10:30, Mars is rising kind of to the southeast, and it's about as red as I've ever seen
it. The red planet.
Yeah, it's unmistakable that's Mars. So there's some cool things to see up in the night sky. I thought I'd mention for night sky lovers that the Perseid media showers are also coming August 11th through 13th. So that's like the big media falling star show of the summer that's fun to go out and watch.
And what about northern lights? Have there been any northern lights this summer?
Actually, there haven't been too much in the way of northern lights. There's been very little sunspot activity the last several weeks, like almost historically low. So that's kind of an interesting thing going on with our sun. And this northern lights usually are set off by solar storms. It's one of the things that trigger those. Other things going on outside, it's that time of year. I don't know if you noticed, it is a bit hazy out there. We're seeing a little bit of smoke in the air because fires are now a danger with the woods getting much more dry. And there's a 1,600 acre lodgepole fire that is happening in eastern Washington right now. So that's the only one that I know of, but it's that season. If you are out in the woods, please be very careful with any kind of open flame. What else is going on around our town, Susie?
Well, there's a lot going on, actually. Tonight, the 18th, the Festival at Sandpoint Art Unveiling. Always a big deal. Are you going to go to that, Chris?
I might be able to squeeze away in time to do that. It's really a really fun thing to do.
So every year, the festival at Sandpoint picks a local artist. I think it's pretty typically local, and we have a lot of artists here to create the fine art poster for the festival. And this year's poster artist is Judy Peterson, And the unveiling of her poster will be tonight at Dover Bay at 5 p.m. And that's always fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's free. You can go there. You can check out the poster. They print posters off of it. The original actually goes up for auction. It's a major fundraiser for the festival, and it's auctioned all through the concert series. And you can bid on the original art. It's kind of a mark of distinction to have the original festival poster art hanging in your home.
I have 10 of them at my house. No, I don't.
Not originals.
No. I remember one year someone gave the Waldorf School a whole stack of just posters, not originals, but of like 10 years worth or something.
Right, right, right. Yeah, there are people that collect those posters every year. The printed posters, not the originals. And it's amazing to see the whole, it's what, 30 plus years now, the festival. It's a pretty, it's become such a part of the fabric of our community. And it's such an outstanding event.
Do you have a favorite, speaking of the festival, since we're just kind of chit-chatting here, do you have a favorite act that's coming this year? One that really stands out? And so excited.
There's a few that I want to see. I'm actually interested in the Green Sky Bluegrass concert. I kind of want to find out what Sublime with Rome is about. Those are playing Thursday, August 9th, and Friday, August 10th. Big Head Todd and the Monsters is playing. That's the kickoff concert on Thursday, August 2nd. So that's going to be pretty fun. And of course,
I love the names of these bands these days.
Yeah.
They're
probably
so
the big marquee artist this year is ZZ Top.
And it's sold out, I heard.
Is it already sold out?
That's what I heard. Oh. There still may be a few tickets available,
okay.
But I was told that.
Well, then if you're listening and you want to go see ZZ Top, you better go right now to festival@sandpoint.com and see if a ticket's available. And I tell you what, one of my favorites is the Spokane Symphony, which is always the last concert of the series, the last Sunday. And it's just glorious to sit there and hear the symphonic music under the stars at night on a warm summer night.
Well, one of the acts that I'm really looking forward to is Amos Lee. He has one of the most beautiful, sublime, as you say, voices that you can imagine. He's just really great. So I'm looking forward to that one too. Also,
yeah.
And Green Sky Bluegrass, of course.
Yeah.
It's going to be really fun. It really looks like a really good lineup
this
year.
It's an excellent lineup. Yeah,
yeah.
It always is. And the thing about the festival is, even if you're not familiar with one of the concerts, you go, you hear an act or a musician you may not be familiar with, you're going to find out they're excellent.
Right on the edge of going out and getting famous.
Breaking out and becoming famous, yeah. Yeah. The festival is excellent at spotting that talent that's on its way up. And we're not a big venue. We can get around 3,000 or 3,500 people into our venue, which means like the big touring acts aren't going to stop here. So the trick is catching the artists that are on the rise in their career, or sometimes often the artist that maybe like ZZ Top, he's been around a long time, and he'll play venues all over the country.
Right.
So
we've had some good ones over the years. We can all remember Johnny Cash.
Oh yeah.
B.B. King.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Both those guys.
Yeah. Emmylou Harris.
Emmylou Harris has played here
several times.
A couple times. Yeah. 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 I'll say this about the Johnny Cash. He came to town when I was, a little more hard-pressed for ticket money at that time. And we ended up listening to him out in the park. We weren't inside the festival grounds. But I can remember pressing up against the chain link fence because you could have a little view of him from part of the outside. And he was pretty fantastic, actually.
Right.
I always thought I should have scraped the money together to go see that one.
You know, we did, and we had our son, and he was young. He still remembers that. He was super impressed.
Yeah.
I think that was like his first big concert.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is that the same year B.B. King came?
No, no.
Okay,
B.B.
years.
King was later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was on the field for B.B. King. Actually, the second time I'd seen him. I saw him once in Eugene, Oregon, like, 25 years earlier. And he still sounded great.
Yeah. One of my all-time favorites is Brandi Carlile. I think her concerts just are amazing. So anyways, our guest has arrived, Jim Zuberbühler. Good morning.
Good morning. I apologize for being late.
That's okay. Chris and I always can find something to talk about, right?
Yeah, we were trying to entertain the listening audience out there.
So you're here.
I'm here.
You're gearing up for the 24th annual Long Bridge Swim here in Sandpoint. It's one of the premier open water events.
It
probably
is.
Probably in this part of the country or the whole country. And it's a 1.76-mile swim. So,
Jim, give us the elevator speech. What is the Long Bridge Swim? For those handful of listeners that might be from, who knows, Santa Clarita, California or something.
A little history, too.
Tell us a little history to inform these folks.
Sure. Well, as we just heard, it's the 24th year for the swim. It was started by Eric Ridgway 24 years ago when he rounded up 68 of his closest friends and they swam across the stretch of water right by the pedestrian bridge, at the Long Bridge there. And it was deemed a successful community event, and so people came back the next year. And it's happened every year since. So it's been a great celebratory event. We now have 750 people-ish doing it each year, and it's just a hoot. It's really something to behold. And you've done it, Chris.
I have done it, yeah.
And Jim, have you swam?
This will be my 18th year to do
it. Oh, so yes.
Swimming it.
Right.
Not just a few times.
Hey, I'll tell you about the time I swam. I'm not really I'm a good swimmer, but I'm not a distance swimmer. And I don't really have the breathing technique down. I'm pretty slow. I got totally smoked that year by the Iron Nun. And she, what's her name? Bruder?
Yeah.
She beat me by a good large margin.
And she beats a lot of people.
And she was in her 80s.
Well, that's nothing to apologize for. Well, you saw her during the Olympics last year. She was in a Nike ad.
Oh, yeah.
During the Olympics.
Oh, really?
I mean, so she's actually got an international reputation, yeah. Chris. So you have nothing to apologize for.
Getting beat by an 80-year-old nun. Hey, But you're right. She did. She beat a lot of people. So
I wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
Oh, she's really
so does that make you feel better? Okay. So looking at the website, which is a really useful website, the history is there with a picture of Eric Ridgway. And going down the site, safety requirements, safety protocols, safety records and rules. So over the years, the Long Bridge Swim has developed a key component, safety.
Yes, that's really an important thing, because if we're not safe, we can't have fun with the event. So when Eric asked me to start helping a dozen years ago or so, that was my primary emphasis, was to help bring a safety culture to the event. And so we really have focused on that over the last dozen years or so. So of our 250 volunteers who help on race day, about 180 of them are with the safety apparatus. So we have 90 sea kayakers, we have spotters up on the bridge, the Marine Division with the Sheriff's Office is out there. We actually have a dive team suited up on a boat. We have a team of power boaters and personal watercraft that are there to help bring people into shore if they're cold or tired or both. So, and then we Bonner General Health operates a medical tent for us. Then we have a communications team. So it's a big, complicated apparatus. We do have some time limits. You do need to get to the first quarter mile within 45 minutes. And
you get plucked out of the water.
You get plucked out of the water. And that's a very reasonable thing, because when you do the math, with a 2.5-hour limit for the event, you can't possibly finish it if you can't get that quarter mile done, in a reasonable period of time. But we also want people to have some kind of experience. And it's curious to me that in the, many years I've been involved, we pull almost exactly the same number of people. The first year I swam it, we had about 300 participants. And we now have, 2.5 times that number. But we pull between 20 and 25 people every year. That number has never changed.
And that's the folks that can't make it that first bit under time.
Not necessarily. You do have people further along who just might run out of gas. Mm-hmm. Because when we look at the, people will ask, who swims this? So there's a couple hundred very competitive people who swim, and some of them have done this for years. You then have, probably 300 to 400 people who often have done it for years and just come back, and it's just really a fun event for them. Often families, many families schedule their summer vacation around being here for a week. In fact, the Chamber says that this is the third most important weekend economically for Sandpoint. We fill every hotel room, mm-hmm. especially weekends that we don't overlap with the festival. You can really notice it. And then you have maybe 100-ish people who have never done it before, and they really don't know if they're going to get across. And yet we have such a great safety apparatus that it's a very safe and supported opportunity for them.
So if you don't know and it's your first time, you're supported in finding out. You could take a chance and try for it, maybe right. do some pre-swim practicing and training. So what is there a suggested amount of training that someone should do?
That really varies. As Chris said, he's a strong swimmer, but it's not just a distance thing. It's a navigational issue. And, if you don't have, your breathing mechanics down, you might want to focus on that. So different people have different mm-hmm. things they should probably work on. A big question for some people is, I'm at no risk of becoming hypothermic. So, I don't really need a wetsuit and our lake's warm this year. Some of these, little kids, they're just these skinny minis and, they're in the water for an hour. Even if the water's 68 or 70 degrees, they're pretty cold. So, they ought to be in a wetsuit, mm-hmm. probably.
Mm-hmm. I think
even a shorty wetsuit.
Yeah,
just get your core covered.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think we could get into some specifics, but before we do that, I'd like to just mention that in 2010, the Long Bridge Swim began raising money to support a swim lessons for kids. So why don't we talk about that a little bit? It's not just a open water swim, 1.76 miles. It's really a benefit for a very specific thing.
That's right. We've now become a year-round nonprofit entity. We're very busy all year. And in fact, this past school year, we provided over 1,000 people with swim lessons and water safety classes. So that was really a big year for us. And for the first time, all of the elementary schools in the Lake Pendere School District were included. So our mission, our stated goal now for the Long Bridge Swim is to have no child get past third grade in Bonner County without learning how to swim. And we, are hopeful that we'll get close to that.
So how do you do that? Do you, all the third grade classes take kids to the health club?
Yeah, we bring all the third grade classes over for a 3-day water safety program. And we take them through that program, and it's pretty easy to screen for the kids. And not only is that a great program for them to learn a bunch, but we can then sort out who doesn't know how to swim or who doesn't know how to swim well enough, and then bring them back for swim lessons. And this year, we were able to, and we pay for transportation. We have a ton of volunteers who help with those lessons. Just think about the scheduling of that with the health clubs. There's a lot of moving parts to that. We developed a relationship with Holiday Shores out in Hope. So Northside, Hope, those schools that are a ways away can now do lessons out there, which has really made the difference, because otherwise it just wasn't logistically feasible. We had the kids out of school too long because of the distance. So we've solved to that. We also serve most of the let me add it up now. Most of the special education kids in the district are served, and in fact, we have every Monday the kids from Farm and Stidwell. The special education kids are in the pool every Monday, and we support kids on the swim team with scholarships if those families can't afford the cost of that. We underwrite that. We've supported the lifeguard training program at City Beach in a very big way. Kim Woodruff credits us with rescuing that program a couple of years ago when they didn't know if they'd have enough lifeguards to maintain the program at City Beach. And so we stepped in and financed a training program to get kids fit enough to actually do the lifeguard program. So we've done that for a couple of years now, which we're very pleased to do these other things in the background to support safe swimming.
Mm-hmm. So I know when Eric started the swim all these many years ago, he wanted to make it very affordable for people. So a swimmer the fee for swimming is low, right?
Yes, we're still a very inexpensive event. We've gone up a little bit, and we have a graduated fee, registration fee. So if you register early, we typically start registration on the day of the swim for the next year, it's very, very low. And then as we progress, that fee goes up. And so like right now is our most expensive fee because we're just a couple weeks away from the swim. It's $45. But it's typically about $20.
If you register early.
And that's very inexpensive.
And do you have any paid staff?
We have no paid staff.
No paid staff. So all the money really is going to support the event, but also these charitable work that you're doing.
Well, the registrations cover the cost of the swim. And then I go out and raise funds with local sponsors. And so we have this wonderful cadre of local businesses and supporters who've come back year after year for almost 10 years now to support the swim lessons program. And my goal is to raise 10 to 15% more each year, because that's about how much the program has grown each year. And all those monies, we practice restricted accounting, so all those monies go directly to the swim program.
Well, we could rattle off some of those important
Before
sponsors.
We do that, let's let our listeners who may have just tuned in, they have tuned in to the morning show here on this Wednesday, July 18th, and we're talking with Jim Zuberbühler from the Long Bridge Swim. If you cannot listen to the whole podcast or the whole show this morning live, you can go to our website, krfy.org, and it will be up as a podcast. And if you're not able to hear it directly through the airwaves, you can also go to krfy.org and stream us at any point in time. You can take us anywhere. So, Jim, we're talking about sponsors and how valuable that is and what they do support to make this possible. And you mentioned the $45 entry fee at this point in time. It was probably lower a while ago. When you think about it, some of those long runs up in the mountains that people do and stuff, those are like $150. So you're right. This is incredibly reasonable. And the registration fee pays for all the infrastructure to make the race happen.
Right.
Your sponsors do something else, so...
That's right, they do. And just to talk about the fee a little bit, last summer, as many listeners would know, we, for the first time, had to cancel the swim. And in fact, I had to make that announcement midway through the safety meeting. So it was 8:15 in the morning, race day. We had this big wind event that came up, which was very unfortunate. We do have a relationship with NOAA. The National Atmospheric and... I can't remember the whole...
The weather outfit.
The weather outfit. Yeah, the National Weather
National
outfit.
Weather Service.
National Weather Service. They have been very helpful. And so we start talking to them a number of days before the race. And they had told us that this wind event would be happening and very likely during our event. And it turned out to be a significant event. So we did our best and actually tried to deploy our safety team that morning, and many of our best kayakers who've been with us for years were flipped, and you know, what just was very clear that this was a no-go. So
you'd be rescuing the rescue people.
That's right. And so, you know,
it was white caps. Basically.
Yeah, there was white caps, and it was pushing. You know, it was just bad, and the sheriff agreed with our assessment, and so I prepared people at the safety meeting that this was. You know, we did do a delay and prepared them for this. And what is interesting is, we actually got a standing ovation from the assembled 700-plus swimmers when we made this choice, and very, very positive feedback that we'd made the right decision. And then we turned around, and because we couldn't do any refunds, because we've already spent all the... It doesn't matter if we do the race or not in terms of financially. We've already bought the swim caps, paid for the insurance, and you know we're ready to go. So people understood that. But we did make registration $10 for the next 60 days. And so we had a couple hundred people.
Registration for this year.
For this year, okay. Right away, which was, you know, our way of saying, gosh, we can figure this, you know, this is just the right thing to do, because we always maintain a reserve account. You know, we are in the black and we operate responsibly financially. So we thought that was the right thing to do. So I think many of our particularly long-term participants really appreciated that. So.
You mentioned the swim caps. So the Long Bridge Swim Association or Federation, whatever, provides swim caps for every swimmer. And it says regulated swim caps.
Well, you must wear an issued swim cap with your number on it. We also body mark everyone. That's a requirement. And then that's part of the safety issue, because we want to make sure the same number of swim caps come out that went in on the race.
And you can count them as they come over the line?
Actually, no, we don't need to do that anymore, because we do electronic chip timing. So we moved to chip timing, I think, 6-7 years ago. So everyone's wearing an ankle bracelet, a chip timer. And that's really important, again, from a safety aspect. Not only does it give us much more accurate timing for people, but it allows us to count everyone accurately as they go in and come out. So, in fact, because of our very restricted entry, we just have a teeny, skinny place that we enter on the south side of the bridge there, we have a couple hundred people in the water at the start, and then we have 500 people who enter after the horn has gone off. Their ankle bracelets then cross a mat, and that's when their start time starts. The people who are already in the water, their start time starts when the horn goes off. So you could conceivably enter the water 10 or 15 minutes after the horn goes off and win.
And still win, yeah.
And still win.
Because it's all the magic of the timing chip.
That's right. So we don't have to do waves and, like many triathlons and so on do. So that also makes us a safer event, because you don't have this, terrible, feeding frenzy at the beginning, which is, dangerous.
It's really progressed a lot since the beginning.
Oh my, it's a very different
event. The 68 swimmers that started in, what was it, 2005? 1996, right.
But I would argue that we have really hewed to Eric's, founding feeling about this, that it be this very positive community event, and Eric is still very involved in the event. We really invite him to participate. He's there every year. I always invite him to make some comments at the introduction of the event. He's still very much included, and we love him, and it's just great that the founder, 24 years later.
But he's a very fit fellow still.
Oh, and he does really well and, swims every year, and it's just great fun.
Does he win every year?
No, he does not. No, there's this.
Jim, do you win every year?
I do not come close to winning.
In fact, there are some guys that are really good swimmers.
Oh my goodness. And in fact, I'll never even place in my age group, because there's this group of people that are right around my age. There's three or four of them who are always in the top 10 swimmers overall in the event. So I'll never even be in the top 5 in my age group because of these rascals, so.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to still cover. It would be fun to go through what race day feels like, looks like for the swimmers and for the safety kayakers and the watchers and spotters. And to hear about the sponsors for sure. But I think it might be fun to take a little song break. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay, this is a very short song. It's a 2-minute song. Luden Wainwright, it's called The Swimming Song. You've probably heard this song before. And here it goes. It's just about swimming. We'll be right back. Stay with us for the morning show. And that was Luden Wainwright, The Swimming Song, an appropriate song this morning.
And we are speaking with Jim Zuberbühler. He's the director of the Longbridge Swim, which is coming up on August 4th, Saturday, August 4th. And Jim, you mentioned we have a gazillion volunteers that help pull this thing off. Tell us a little bit more about some of the folks, some of the core volunteers you have. What do they do? What's it take to put this thing on?
Well, this is one of the most satisfying parts for me. And in a lot of ways, I think I have the easiest job with the project, because I try to find these great people and then turn them loose and stay out of their way. And that's really the essence of it. We have 10 volunteer department chairs for the swim. And most of them have been doing this for 10 years or so. So they keep coming back every year. So we have, for instance, Sean and Greg Prummer from Winter Ridge have done our food for years. So you can imagine how great that is. And not only are we feeding, you know, the 700 plus swimmers and all the volunteers, which is 1,000 people after the event, but you know, it's not specifically for spectators, but they jump in too, because you know, we have something like 35 gallons of Huckleberry ice cream that we go through, and it's just spectacular. And Shauna organizes all that, so it's really something else. Donovan Levitt, who has run logistics for the last 10 years, has just shifted to running safety. I ran safety for 7 or 8 years. Then Courtney Sanborn, who many listeners would know, has just moved back home to Durango. She just retired a couple months ago. We did a nice dinner for her. She was a core volunteer for many, many years and ran safety for the last 3 or 4 years. You know, that again, as I mentioned, that's a huge, complicated team. Aaron Norling just joined us to run logistics, taking Donovan's place. Let's think of who else. Wesley runs insurance, transportation, you know, sometimes some kind of odd combination. She also coordinates timing. Karen McClelland has been our registrar for years and coordinates that whole function, which is complex. Again, her sister Susie Miller runs t-shirts. And that's a pretty complicated thing, because you're doing t-shirts for participants and then volunteers, and there's a couple different flavors for volunteers. Brent and Lucy West, and Brent Banal and Lucy West, lovely couple, have designed and printed all of our t-shirts and banners and all those sorts of things for years now, and they're really an integral part of our team. Keith Hertel has owned the Finnish area and setting all that up for years. Malia has helped a great deal. So again, we have this just very tight core group. We have fun. We have two primary planning meetings, one in the spring, and then we have one tomorrow, actually. We only have two planning meetings that we all meet, but each of those committees, you know, owns their areas, and I never worry that, you know, something's not going to be ready on race day. They're so competent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just great.
It's like literally taking a village there.
A true spirit of organizational development when people can just be responsible at that level.
Oh, and I didn't mention Greta Warren is our, you know, financial person. She runs the books and, you know, keeps us on the straight and narrow financially.
Promotion.
And we have a couple people who help with you know, our social media and you know, website, and of course Chris Bessler here and his team manage our website and have done that for years for us. We're very appreciative of that, and so it's just a wonderful group of people, and we like the idea that we're the only major athletic event without any paid staff, and we pull this.
And you pull it off.
Pull it off.
And with a lot of logistics involved.
A lot of logistics, but we spend remarkably little time with actual meetings and planning, because we've got it figured out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the other part of this is, you mentioned earlier, you have a bunch of sponsors. And, of course, those guys provide some of the fuel that keeps this thing going, and also the charitable work that you do. So let's give a shout out.
Yeah, so BNSF Railway has been our lead sponsor. This is their second year in a row. So they've stepped up to help us. And the impetus for that was when they were doing the piling work last year, they, you know, took up a big, even bigger chunk of Dog Beach. And so we now have a really teeny area to squeeze a couple thousand people. Yeah. And that piling work was scheduled to go until August 1st. And that made me a little nervous, so I called Courtney Wallace, who's the public relations person. She sits at a desk in Seattle, and this was a year ago in the spring, and said, gosh, you know, told her who I was and about the swim, and said, we're really, you know, here's this event, and it's, you know, August 5th last year, and you know, will you be done? And you know, she stepped right up and said, we will be done, and we'll absolutely make sure the swim happens. And 20 minutes later, you know, she was our major sponsor.
Yeah.
And they've come back.
That's great. While we're on that topic, will the second railroad bridge that's proposed, if that's built, is that going to impact the event?
Don't know yet. You know, what that's going to look like. We haven't crossed that bridge yet.
so to speak.
So, you know, big shout out to BNSF Railway. Parker Subaru is back for their third year as a major sponsor. Sandpoint West Athletic Club has been there with us. What's great about Don and Sue Helander is, you know, here they are. We run swim lessons there, and you know, there's a charge for that. But they have turned around year after year and donated back their profit from the swim lessons back into the Long Bridge Swim, which is great. So their contribution to the swim has increased, you know, over the last 9 years we've been doing lessons. Mm-hmm. They keep bumping it up as the program has grown. So that's just...
Mm-hmm. And now they're one of the major sponsors.
Now they're second level, you know, from the top. So that's wonderful. TransCanada has been a big sponsor. Justin Dick at Trinity at City Beach has been with us from the start. Eric Paul, Washington Trust Bank, has been a significant sponsor for years. Mel and Claudia Dick have been very helpful. Avista has been right there. Bonner General Health, Finn and McDonald, Chewy Fregoso, the Chamber of Commerce. You know, Kate's been very supportive. Fraser King, Cynthia Dalsing, who swims every year, is also one of our earliest sponsors.
Mm-hmm. And so, she has women's health care.
And she's just been great. My lovely assistant, Dee Cossie, has supported us every year. EPIS, a local business, has been great. Soren Isparescu with the pain clinic writes a check every year. John Faggart, one of our early sponsors, has been wonderfully helpful. Les Schwab, same thing. Lighthouse, Nicole French at Pedal Talk has been there from the start. Talked to Nicole yesterday. Ned Brandenberger with Sandpoint Property Management and Sweet Lou's. You know, those are kind of our core sponsors who have been around. And then we've got some really significant in-kind sponsors.
Lee
Harden and Rochelle Ruin are the property owners who allow us to squeeze past their house.
Oh.
So they get to
shout out to them.
Donovan and I sat down with Lee a couple weeks ago, and you know, we always have the conversation about how much should they charge per person to have us go by. We laugh about it. But you know, so it's like they have 750 of their closest friends over for, you know, an hour.
That's at the start.
Then we all go away.
Water. Yeah.
But they're so gracious, and that's just wonderful.
You know, one of the unusual things about the Long Bridge Swim compared to other long distance swims is because it's held right next to the Long Bridge, the pedestrian Long Bridge, you can get a lot of family and friends that can kind of follow their swimmers along.
Yeah. That just doesn't happen at other events.
So we just have a little bit more time, but it would be fun to kind of take us through what a swimmer will experience the day of the race. They're registered.
Sure.
They've been practicing. They're ready to go. What does it look like?
Okay. So Friday night, many local people come over to the high school and pick up their packet. You know, swim cap, they might get their body marking done. And a lot of out-of-towners. And I should mention very briefly, we have about 100-ish local swimmers. And then we have a couple hundred from Coeur d'Alene, couple hundred from Spokane, and then we have people from all over the country. We've got a couple swim coaches in Salt Lake City, Portland, Seattle that throw kids in a van and come every year. We have half a dozen people who come from Barcelona, Spain every year. I mean, it's just really something. I mean, we've got, you know, a couple dozen states and half a dozen countries represented every year. So you come over to the high school, get your packet, then you show up again at the high school early on Saturday morning, get yourself marked, get your cap if you haven't already, get your Long Bridge Swim t-shirt, and then we do the safety meeting at 8 a.m. sharp, and you've got to be registered by 7:30. Can't be late. And no same-day registration. Last chance, particularly for locals, is on-site registration Friday night at the high school, 5:30 to 7. So then we do a mandatory safety meeting.
And where does that take place?
At the high school.
Okay.
Because that's the remaining place that we have enough space to park everybody. And then we've got, I think it's 18 or 19 school buses that show up. We have the same drivers every year. And they all get a T-shirt. And they show up. And they're lovely. And they pick up the assembled and about 8:25 and take us to the Long Bridge, escorted by a Sandpoint police officer. Mm-hmm. And then we get dropped off at the grill. And then, you know, we disgorge from those buses and clomp past Lee and Michelle's place, and then Wesley starts us, and off we go. And as Chris mentioned, the spectating opportunity is highly unusual for any kind of an event like this. You get to walk along and watch your spouse or your kid or Uncle Bob or your buddy and see this thing. And you know, so when you're swimming, it's really something because you see all these. I mean, it's a couple thousand people, you know, strollers, bikes, wagons, you know.
Yeah, it's a big crowd that moves down the Long Bridge. Yeah.
It's really great. So, and then you finish, and there's a big party at Dog Beach with, as I mentioned, the big food tent and Winter Ridge serving up all their employees. Oh, gosh, they've got about 50 employees, but about 15 of them volunteer that morning and help out with, you know, serving food, and we've got music, and we do awards, you know, age group awards. People get these really sporty Long Bridge swim towels, and it's.
I was gonna say, when you come out of the water after something like that, you want to be wrapped up in a towel, kind of.
Well, kind of, but the water's so warm.
The water's so warm, and you're so jacked up about having done. Yeah. I don't think very many people get out and say they're cold.
No, really. very few. but it's just, you know, the Huckleberry ice cream's a big draw. And people have their favorite things. I mean, I just want a cup of coffee and a donut is what I want.
You know, it's a good food spread. I'll say that.
It is. Yeah. It's really good. So it's really fun. And there's just this great light feeling about it. And everybody's so excited to have accomplished this. And then the race results come up. And you know, you've got all these, you know, particularly, it's kind of a mix. You've got these teenagers who have won age groups. And then you've got these very impressive 50, 60, 70-somethings who win their age groups and place overall, which is really, they were college swimmers 40 years ago, and they're still really great, you know.
Yeah. The water has a, you know, the buoyancy factor, I'm sure, is helping these older swimmers.
Oh, yeah. Some of them are real specimens.
It's a technique. There's so much technique involved in swimming fast. I think if you master that as a young person, it carries on through the rest of your life. Well,
and speaking of that, one of the things that's been personally very satisfying for me is we have about 50 swimmers come from Canada, and a couple of them have actually become really close friends. And in fact, there's a whole nest of Calgarians who come down, and they stay at my house for the weekend, and we've met through this, and it's absolutely lovely. And in fact, one of them, Rob Davis, is always in the top six or seven, and he's been a nationally ranked swimmer since he was a kid in Canada. And he and his girlfriend come and stay every year. My kids look forward to it. It's just this sweet thing that through swimming we've become.
So to be clear, there's no tariff on Canadian swimmers.
We hope not. And, you know, we start out, we sing the U.S. anthem, we sing the Canadian, you know, O Canada, we sing the Canadian
if
anthem.
If Barcelona's there, you should do Spain.
Oh, I guess we should. Yeah. And those folks from Barcelona last year, they were so disappointed that we couldn't swim, but they were so positive about it. And, you know, they're coming back this year, and, you know, because they came a long way to do the swim.
So even if you're not a swimmer, you're invited to come and check out the whole event, right?
The whole thing. And then we hope people, and we have, I should also mention, we have one or two or three people with special needs every year, and we knock ourselves out to help those folks. So we always have a paraplegic or somebody with multiple sclerosis or somebody with a blind swimmer or somebody who needs extra help, and we make it happen for them. And that's very fun for us to be able to support that.
Mm-hmm. So if folks are listening and they want to either do the swim or find out more, how do they do that?
Yeah, easiest way is to go to longbridgeswim.org, and you can find your way to register for the swim through that and get lots more information.
Or just Google Long Bridge Swim. You'll find the website. It's the only Long Bridge Swim in the whole country.
That's right.
Yeah, it's under the Long Bridge Swim Sandpoint. And the website is incredibly helpful with all kinds of links. But that deadline for online registration is August 2nd. And then, as you said, the in-person registration is Friday night, 7:30 or something like that.
5:30 to 7 on August 3rd.
At the high school.
At the high school.
August 3rd. Okay, Friday night. And this is a Saturday, August 4th race this year, and it is the 24th. And speaking of sponsors, I just want to say thank you to the Long Bridge Swim. KRFY is also a nonprofit that has many sponsors and in many different ways, but the Long Bridge Swim has been a longtime underwriter. So we want to thank the Long Bridge Swim for that. So thank
you
very
much. It's the great circle here in Sandpoint.
I know.
That's right. We all help each other out.
We do. So, okay, last question here because we're going to run out of time in a few minutes. If somebody's listening, they haven't been really swimming, what would you give? You got 2.5 weeks. That's enough time to get in the water and get enough conditioning to do the race. Or it's not yet a race, really. It could be a race if you want, just to swim if you're not in the for the competition. What as an experienced swimmer yourself, what would you suggest would be a good regime?
I think the most important thing is to go down to Dog Beach, and there's a dozen pilings that are along the causeway there before you actually get to the bridge that crosses the lake there. People would notice, particularly late in the afternoon, that there's this time of year always people training. You can swim inside those pilings. It's safe. Boats can't get at you. And swimming along those pilings, between the pilings and the causeway, it's relatively shallow. It's, 4 to 6 feet deep. It's a great place to practice. It gives you a sense for what it's like to be in the open water. If you get in trouble, you can just swim over and then walk on the paved, path back to Dog Beach. So that's an ideal place to go get a sense for this. And you can go out as far as you want. There's 12 pilings. They're all numbered. That's actually another project Long Bridge Swim supported a number of years ago. We paid for the pilings. Jim Woodward from Apex Construction Services installed those at no expense. And we wanted, again, because the wooden ones were falling down a number of years ago, we wanted to preserve that as a safe place to practice for the swim. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would suggest. Get out and practice there. It really gives you an idea of what it's going to be like.
Yeah, great.
The Long Bridge Swim coming up August 4th. Another event. Have you looked forward into the NOAA, National Weather Service's long distance look into the weather?
Not yet.
Okay.
The National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration.
Administration.
There,
you got it.
But no, we talked to them starting about a week out. They just called me one day, like 7 or 8 years ago. It turns out they've got a field office in Spokane. Who knew? This guy called me and said, hey, we can help you with this. And that's been, because I used to just stand there on the south end, sort of look up in the sky and say, it looks pretty good. But that's no way to know if there's a electrical cell.
That's less like minimum science, right?
Yeah, that
there was
pretty minimum science. And now we have this very sophisticated asset that helps us, which has really been great. Yeah, they're nice people.
I bet there's a swimmer in that office.
Yeah, but they reached out. And so there's a good example of, that kind of federal resource that's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very, very nice.
Based in science. And we should give a shout out to founder Eric Ridgway, who in 1995 came up with this great idea, and now Sandpoint has the Long Bridge Swim. I want to thank Jim Zuberbühler for coming in. And are you officially the race director? Is that your title?
Yep, that's
okay.
What
race
they call
director
me.
Jim Zuberbühler for coming in today and telling us all about the Long Bridge Swim.
Thank you.
And should we put on a song and come back, or should we just
a few minutes left here.
Okay.
And, of course, there's always a ton of things going on that we didn't get to mention earlier. Some of the activities happening this weekend, that probably the big one is the Northwest Wine Fest, which is happening both Saturday and Sunday up at Schweitzer. And if you're a wine drinker, Jim, do you go to the Wine Fest?
I have gone before. I'm not going to go this year.
My cousin called me up out of the blue and said he wanted to go. So oh, nice. I might go up on go. Sunday.
Oh, nice.
We'll see.
Oh, it's really nice.
Yeah. Well, Schweitzer's has really blossomed as a great place for summer events like that. It's beautiful up on the mountain. It's, you know, there's something about the alpine experience that is really distinct. And you get that when you just right from the village, actually.
Oh, yes. It smells different. It looks, yeah. feels mm-hmm. different. Yeah.
And there might be
huckleberries
happening.
I know.
Are they? Have you got any reports on that?
I just picked up on out of town in Sagal. I'm not supposed to say where, but Gold Hill, we'll just say. You have to go quite a ways to get there. And they were wonderful. And I don't think they're quite up at Schweitzer. They might be down like the third switchback right now.
Okay.
So there'll be cars on the side of the road. And pretty soon at the turnaround thing, the roundabout, they call it, there'll be cars there. And you just go up and there's huckleberries.
There's a ton of good huckleberry picking at Schweitzer.
Nothing like a huckleberry this time of year. I just want to say also on the morning show, because we have exactly a minute and a half. On the morning show tomorrow, Jim Healy and Jack Peterson will visit with local author Bill Collier and talk about his first and second book. He was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. Next week on the morning show, Julie will be talking with Clem Yonders and Mary Haley from the Bonner County Master Naturalists. And our guests next week will be folks from Euroty's Village in the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint, who will be telling us about their organizations and also a joint fundraiser that they've put together that they would like to inform our listeners about.
I'll throw out a couple other events real quick that are happening this weekend that you might want to catch if you can. One, if you're into yoga, the Northwest Yoga Feast is happening actually Friday, Saturday, and Sunday out at the Eureka Institute. That's a pretty cool thing. You could learn more about that on our website in the calendars at carefy.org or on Sandpoint Online, which provides the calendars. Also, a really cool thing that happens every summer, the last few years at least, the Bonner County History Museum has a movie in the park. And they're going to be showing The Princess Bride on Friday night. And that's pretty cool. You just go and you throw a blanket down and you watch on this big screen that they have a really cool movie. It's a great thing to do in the summer, especially if you have kids for this type of event.
It sounds like you've done that before.
I have done it. And in fact, I'm going to be there this Friday, I believe. So we'll see.
Do it again. And they have refreshments. You may have mentioned that. And Jim, do you go with your kids?
Oh, yes. We went to a couple of the movies last year. And in fact, we did a couple of our screenings of the Kinnick-Sue Land Trust films last year, which was really...
We should do that again this year.
That's a good thought, Chris.
Yeah.
Did we ever find out about Sasquatch? Is it really living up there?
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Susie? Of course he is.
Okay.
Well, you know, you can't be sure about these things. There's a mystery involved. So maybe you have to go wander around once the Pine Street Woods becomes a community forest. We're within inches.
We're close.
So you're both kind of involved in that, too?
Kind of.
Yeah, we're kind of involved in that. And that will be another great thing for the community when it comes to pass.
And that's a forest, a piece of land up at the end of Pine Street that is going to be preserved for our woods. I mean, it's going to be a beautiful place to go.
Biking trails, cross-country ski, snowshoeing, a place to just get out of town within just a few minutes. You could do that at lunch break. Very, very conceivably, I'm sure we'll see people up there taking their lunch break in the woods.
Sounds good. Again, tonight, the festival at Sandpoint Art Unveiling of the Fine Art Poster will be at Dover Bay at 5 p.m., and we are ready to go.
That's it for today.
Yeah, we hope you have a beautiful day, and thank you again, Jim Zuberbühler, the Longbridge Swim Race Director, for coming in and telling us all about it. We have a song we're going to go out with. This is the Traveling Wilburys, End of the Line. I don't know if it has anything to do with swimming, but it's a great song. We hope you have a great day. Take care. Thanks for listening. And we'll be having Otto's Eclectic Mix the rest of the day till 5 o'clock. Enjoy.
Bye now.